sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, morning, guys. Good to be back out here. Haven't been back in a week, so we'll get a good practice out here today. Then we'll head on the road again, head to Philly tomorrow. Two good days of practice versus them Wednesday, Thursday, play them on Saturday. You know, this will be the third time we have a joint practice with the Eagles. Had them, we went to Philly a couple years ago, had them out here 3 years ago. So we do this with organizations that we have a ton of respect for. I think Coach Sirianni does an amazing job with those guys. Obviously, it's a very, very good football team, defending champs, but it's a great challenge for our football team. But looking forward to getting a lot of good work done in Philly. But before that, we got to get a good day out here on these fields, and then we'll get on the airplane tomorrow. But with that, I'll take any questions.
How about Dylan and Kenny? Do you think they'll be able to do any 11-on-11s this week?
Dylan can do some 11-on-11. Obviously, we're still mindful of his tightness in the hamstring. Kenny, not just yet 11-on-11, but both guys progressing well.
Do you expect Shador to start Saturday?
I'm not there on the game itself. By Wednesday, Thursday, I'll have a better feel for the game and how we're going to handle that. And I'll update you guys, but not there yet.
What does the additional day of practice give you the chance to do?
Probably a little bit more of everything, Tony. I thought that one day in Carolina was good, and that was week one, so I think that was the right amount of work. I think in week two of the preseason, I think both – I know our team is probably ready for a second day. We've done that most outside of last week, Tony. All of our joint practices have been 2 days. So obviously it allows you to get more of everything. It's more one-on-one work. It's a two-minute drill. It's red zone. It just allows you to hit a little bit more situational ball.
Kevin, how serious is Luke Gloria's hamstring?
Yeah, serious. We'll update you guys on Luke later.
Kevin, with the practices in Philly yet, do you know how you want to handle the quarterback reps against the Philly first team defense and team roles?
We'll kind of map that out here the next couple days, but it's a great challenge for all of our guys going up against a really good defense.
Kevin, you've historically used these joint practices to get the work in for your starters and then use the preseason game for the younger players. Do you anticipate that changing this week at all?
No, that won't change. I mean, that's why you do these practices. I think, and both sides view it that way, typically, because you script the practice so that the ones get the vast majority, so that then your guys that are getting the twos and threes reps can get the majority of their reps in the game.
Ken, what'd you think of some of the running backs on Friday night? I hadn't seen a lot of those guys, and does that room feel kind of wide open right now?
I hope every, room feels that these guys are pushing each other and we're still in training camp mode, so I think that's the mentality that these guys have. I think the running back room in particular, Scott, I was really pleased with how hard those guys run. As you know, in practice, if you're not going live, it's hard for runners to show truly because they get thudded, they get tagged off and the ball stops. But you get to see guys break tackles, and I thought you saw that the other night.
Did you expect to name your starter for the season after this Philadelphia week?
I'm not.
At quarterback.
At quarterback, you said? Yeah, I'm not there yet, Tony, but certainly those are all things I'm thinking about.
Kevin, how good of a...
Has that timeline on naming a quarterback shifted at all with the injuries? I understand you maybe haven't gotten a full evaluation of the guys that you maybe wanted to.
I think you take everything into account, but... we'll see how we get through this week and then make a decision.
Kevin, how good
make
of
a decision on when to make a decision. Yes.
How good of a test this week is it for both sides of your lines, your offensive line and your defensive line?
It's a great test. I can't imagine there's a better combination of offensive line, defensive line than the Eagles and who we're facing. So it's an awesome test for our guys. And again, I've been up close and seen this line when we practice against them. They're really well coached. They got great players, so it's a great challenge for our guys.
Do you have any update on Quinshon? You expect him back this week?
I don't have an update.
What did you like about the joint practice in Carolina that you might carry over into these two in Philly?
I think most joint practices follow a similar structure, if you will, and I think credit to Coach Canales down there, and then obviously Nick and I have talked, and we've done these type of structures before. So I think you want to be really organized, real efficient with your time, and make sure that you're getting all the looks that you need to get for both sides.
You talk about the defensive tackles. Mike Hall, do you have any update on when he might be back?
I really don't have an update other than he's doing awesome. He's really working very hard.
Do you know if week one is still in play?
Let's keep it day to day, but he's doing really well.
And what did you see? I know they were limited snaps. What did you see out of Mason on Friday night?
Yeah, limited snaps, but really good first step for those guys. Like we talked about, it's just getting in uniform, getting through pregame, get on the field. There's a lot of adrenaline that kicks in there for those guys. So I thought he was, by and large, pretty good and plenty of stuff to clean up.
I'm the first sack of Bryce Young. Did Mason Graham contribute in pushing over the quarterback?
Absolutely, and that's, you know, so many sacks. It's sometimes it's just one guy beats him clean and makes a sack. A lot of times it's the push of the pocket forces a quarterback to get out, or the edge rush forces a quarterback to step up. So I think your pass rush really does work together, even though one guy sometimes gets that statistic with the sack.
Kevin, with Gage and seeing him make plays, how much, I mean, him and Shador have worked together so much throughout the offseason, like how have you seen them develop a chemistry and how has that benefited both of them?
Yeah, I thought Gage has done a really nice job. Again, going back to rookie minicamp, he's a kid that you can really depend on. He knows what to do, and then he's fast. He's made plays with the ball in his hand, and it's good for that to show up in games, and quarterbacks love throwing to guys they can trust.
With Dylan returning to practice or 11-on-11s today, can you share if he was taking first-team reps in 11-on-11s with the starters before he got the hamstring injury? Will he do some of that today, and will Shador also perhaps maybe take any of them?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into reps, Mary Kay, other than to say we're going to continue to mix these guys. And also say I'm trying to be very, very – we are trying to be very intentional about our quarterback's development. And I'm really pleased with where both our young guys are. And I could say that about our entire rookie class. They're all working very hard. They're all taking coaching and understanding that this is a progression for them.
When you leave those practices last year with Philly – do you think, hey, this could be a team that goes and wins the Super Bowl? Like, do you know if they're that good that early?
I think in these settings, you definitely get a feel for the skill set of the teams you're facing. Yeah, I think you do. Now, Philly was a couple years ago. We were in Minnesota last year, right? Am I thinking that right?
Yeah.
Minnesota here. But, I mean, 2 years ago, that was still the same offensive line, quarterback, receivers. So I think you can definitely get a feel for personnel when you step on the field versus some of these teams, yes.
Dylan Sampson, through this point of camp, what have you seen from him and what are you looking forward to as these next two preseason
games? Yeah, he's done a very, very good job. He's been assignment sound, I think, throughout all of camp. He's caught the ball well. He's run it well. He's done a nice job. And it's just, for all these guys, it's earning a role. It's our job to find out what they can do and then expand upon that role.
Kevin, we always hear on a scale of like 1 to 10, 1 being not a lot, 10 being a lot, how much are you guys actually
game planning for this? Yeah, hard to put it on the scale, but not a lot. I think what we're trying to do is you want your guys to have core concepts that they can go out and play fast, and there's not a lot of thinking. I mean, we've been through our installs, quote-unquote, I think 6 times, so they've heard it so many times. So for especially the first 2 games, we want to keep it very, very simple. Third game, you game plan, you give them a game plan. You may not call all those plays in the game, but you want them to go through the process of hearing all those play calls and, hey, this is a new concept that we're going to introduce to you guys. So you do go through that process in the third game, but definitely the first two are very, very basic.
Given the fact that Shador had a good night, given the fact that Gabriel has been out and you're short of time, is it fair to say this is the most critical week for Gabriel?
Honestly, Tony, I feel like every day is critical for all these players. We want to stack these days and make sure we're getting better. So I really view every day as very important.
Customary injury questions.
Yes, thank you, Daniel.
How's Zach's injury going?
Zach will be out there. He's feeling better, so we'll see how he does.
And Mahmoud and Pierre is on the phone.
Yeah, Mahmoud's still dealing with his injury. Pierre will be out here in some limited capacity.
I feel like we haven't asked you, but like, ever get asked about the Rayshon Jenkins, if they really get, just kind of what was your take on that? Address that?
Good teaching moment for our football team. We don't. We never, ever, 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 ever want to throw a punch that gets you thrown out immediately. I saw the whole thing happen. They were locked up. Their player got off, I think, three punches before Rayshon threw a punch. And that's a great opportunity for them to lose their guy. We keep our guy. It's our advantage. We negated that advantage by retaliating. So that was not a smart play by a smart football player, a smart man, who I have a ton of respect for. But we got to learn from that. And we can't let another player, their aggression, bait us into getting thrown out of a game.
Greg, you'll be back full go today.
I would not full go, but getting better.
Do you expect at least one of those days in Philly that he'll be able to get
it? We'll see. Trying to be smart about how we rep these guys and progress through the injuries.
Good.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
One of the most underrated things about Friday's game coming up at 9:43. Stefanski goes further on the QBs.
I'm not going to get into reps other than to say we're going to continue to mix these guys and also say I'm trying to be very, very, we are trying to be very intentional about our quarterback's development, and I'm really pleased with where both our young guys are, and I could say that about our entire rookie class. They're all working very hard. They're all taking coaching and understanding that this is a progression for them.
Where should Shador be on the depth chart, Anthony, after you just hear what Kevin Stefanski just said? Would you like to hear a little bit more from not just Kevin Stefanski, but maybe the Hall of Famer, the Browns analyst on News 5 during their coverage of the Browns game, Joe Thomas? Would you like to hear a little bit more of that? Because this adds a little bit of intrigue to this. This was during the game Friday night.
Yeah, I think Kenny Pickett's probably going to be on the shelf here for probably a couple more weeks. And so the question is really, is Dylan Gabriel healthy enough to take team reps? We don't know, because all he took this past week was 7-on-7 reps. He's not healthy enough to be able to take off and explode with that hamstring. And I think what Shador Sanders has done tonight is he's proven he should have more opportunities in practice, and I think he will get those opportunities when things are a little bit more difficult. And I'd love to see him out there taking some reps with the ones going against
really
Eagles, really good one unit, probably the best defense in the NFL, to see what you got in him, right? I mean, he's a fifth-round pick. You can be patient with this guy. You don't have to push him into the starting role right away and give him more than he can handle.
Tone Bone.
Okay, I'd love him to be number two in the depth chart. I would. What I wonder is, in the building, and maybe everybody's aligned after they saw what he just did, but maybe in the building some people would be going, well, wait a second. He was like fourth. He barely got any reps to begin with, and you're going to change everything and all your plans based on a preseason game? I don't know. I have no idea. Or are they looking at it like we are, which is, holy cow, he was available. The first, that's the most important part. He can play. The other guys couldn't. And then he went out there, and despite all the limitations of this setup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of that, he came out and performed well. So that shows us enough that we're going to buy into that, because how could we possibly buy into Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel?
It would be great to see him as the number two quarterback, but I don't know how you can do that with Flacco and Pickett on the roster right now. I don't know how you can jump in. It'd be,
and it's a quarterback
presumably
competition.
Kenny Pickett, right? And he's injured or whatever. You know, he's supposed to get some reps this week, but not as much as Gabriel, even on the rebound from the injury.
I can't even say I'm disagreeing with you with the following statement I'm about to say, but 2 weeks out, which makes it, if he's out for 3 weeks altogether, then like that's it. Joe Flacco's won the starting job. And all Shador Sanders has to do, which is easier said than done, is to continue to do what he did on Friday. I mean, I don't know if it's always going to be that way, especially against the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care if it's first, second, or third team. They're a really good team and a really good defense. But if he continues to show that he has a grip on this offense and that Kevin can trust him, then it goes back to what Anthony was just saying. It's like, well, we just want the guy who can help us win.
So do you just – obviously you try to trade Kenny Pickett then, but do you just cut him if you can't trade him?
I mean, if it depends on if I need another position that badly. Like if there's a – if we could get to the end of the preseason, and I may have guys who are hurt in certain positions where all of a sudden now I need a fifth wide receiver, sixth wide receiver, fifth defensive back somewhere in there. It depends on what's available. If a guy, if there's a veteran out there that I can bring in that I think is that good, then yeah, I guess you have to cut your losses. Or you try to facilitate a trade so you can at least get a sixth or a seventh round back from somebody if they need a quarterback. Usually you try to just do that first. But if you had to cut your losses, you have to cut your losses. Like, I'm not advocating for Dylan to go anywhere. I don't know what he's capable of. The only thing I heard is negative things.
Well, maybe so you can stash him week. On the practice squad, but...
I mean, a third-round pick, hard. Putting him on the practice squad there, that you better... If that's the case, they better hope Shador's good, because that would cover up for everything. Because you take a third-round guy, because you could sit there and go, you took a third-round pick. Because if the season ain't going to go very good, nobody has called in and said playoffs this year. Nobody on the radio has said playoffs this year. So if the season ain't going
to
go well...
Someone did compare him to Tom Brady.
If the season ain't going to... But that's nobody true. Said playoffs. If the season ain't going to go that great, then you will have to answer for that. And if you have to answer for a third-round draft choice, not being able to really make the squad at quarterback of all things, where you can only play one of them... Boy, you got a lot of things going against you here. So he better be good, Shador. For you, for your own sake, yeah, not you.
I mean, look at what San Francisco did. Brock Purdy bailed their asses out of the Trey Lance thing.
He did.
Because that was horrible.
Yes, it was.
The Trey Lance thing was absolutely horrible. And now you don't even, unless we bring it up in this setting, when do you even talk about it?
Well, yeah, and DeJuan Jones could still bail them out for Jed Wills.
Yeah.
I'd rather their first-round picks do better, but... We can't always get what we want.
Stop having bailouts.
Gabe and Ashtabula. Where is he at on your depth chart, Gabe? Where should he be on the depth chart?
Bum, 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 bum. QB2. Obviously, he's not going to be QB1. Flacco's going to be our QB1. But I really think he's making a strong case between Pickett and Shador himself. I don't think Dylan Gabriel is NFL caliber whatsoever. Sure, he played great.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Exciting to watch. His scrambling, getting rid of the ball, is going to need some work. He had the best two-yard loss I've ever seen. He made great throws, especially that throw to the token white guy, Luforia. RIP. Hopefully he gets better soon.
All right, he's alive. Luke Florio is alive, Gabe.
Oh, well, you know what? I mean, pulling a hammy off a one-hand catch, you know that wasn't in his arsenal. As a token white guy. But you know what? My wrist is up, and that's actually not the only thing that's up right now.
Okay, Gib. All right. 216-474-0090.
That was the calmest call he's had in
that's true.
Years.
QB2 is fine. Now, can I say one thing? Don't overreact when the depth chart comes out.
Well, we already know. He's not going to be second on the depth chart.
No, he's going to be fourth. He's still going to be fourth. Yes. He's still going to be fourth on that depth chart.
I don't see why they'd move him up to 30.
They're not going to move. If they
They're holding him hostage. If Douglas was right. He's being sabotaged.
Lewis Riddick was right. Can I say something?
Hostage, sabotage.
He's not being sabotaged and he's not being held hostage.
Wait till RG3 catches wind of what you just said. Wait till Robert Griffin, not the third, catches wind of this.
Can I explain it?
Go ahead.
What causes bigger conversation? He goes up the depth chart after one game, or he just stays at number four in the depth chart?
We need to free this man.
If he just stays number four in the depth chart, Kevin Stefanski, he will never act this way, but he go, you don't know what the depth chart is. That's prepared by PR people. Because he said it in the pregame on Friday. They asked him about the depth chart. He said, that's prepared by PR. We have our own depth chart. He could be number one on their depth chart for crying out loud. What if he's number four on the official, unofficial depth chart that is in their media guide and he ends up being the guy who starts again against Philadelphia? Do you really believe he's number four in the depth chart then?
Well, that's the hard part, though, is if the other guys aren't available. I mean, we didn't get anything from the coach in that press conference here when it comes to specifics about the quarterback and their health, which I'm... I'm not surprised. That's how Kevin Stefanski always operates, but it just makes it hard for us to talk about it.
I think it makes it easy. How does it make it hard to talk about it? We've been talking about Shador Sanders for a month. It's been pretty easy to talk about Shador Sanders.
How to handicap, because they've never really been that clear on how they were going about, you know, even allocating the reps and the starts and the first team or second team for the joint practices. Like, we don't really know. Like, I've just been going on the reporting that it was Flacco last week and this week was supposed to be Kenny Pickett, but they've never said that. Mm-mm. They've never really said that. So I don't know how to gauge any of that stuff.
Also, does Joe get reps? Does Joe end up starting the game against Philadelphia? Does this turn into like a dress rehearsal sort of deal?
No, not the game.
It's just the joint practices then.
That the way that I
okay, yeah. I'm just asking. Yeah. I'm asking a question.
That was for the veterans and the okay. starters. The practice.
Yeah. So the practice is going to be for the veterans and starters.
They've got 2 days of it this week.
So okay, so what if he ends up fourth on the depth chart again on the unofficial depth chart? Yeah, people will raise hell because that's what we do over Shador Sanders. But I'm just not going to believe it. Flat out, I think he should be number two on the depth chart. Why shouldn't he be number two? Give me a good reason. Because he played well on Friday?
I'd say it's only a matter of time.
Okay. Exactly. Like, nobody, like, I can't tell you why he shouldn't be. I can tell you a bunch of reasons why he should be.
Now, I will say, to be fair, like, I've seen seen Dylan Gabriel in college play spectacularly well. I've seen him go up again. In fact, he's played better against better competition than Shador did. Now, he had much more of a team. A much better team, a stacked team, better offensive line, all that stuff.
Look at your eraser phrases.
But it's not like I can't envision a scenario where he doesn't have a great performance in a preseason game, because like we've talked about, like the haters of Shador have talked about, we've seen lots of Cleveland Browns quarterbacks have good preseason games. So what do we do with that information if Dylan Gabriel was available and actually did play well in the preseason
game? We will discuss it again coming up next Monday.
Would it nullify Shador's
Why
game?
Why would it nullify Shador's game Dylan Gabriel plays well?
That's what I'm saying, because you know, one's a third-round pick, one's a fifth-round pick.
Okay, then I got two quarterbacks that look pretty good. Fine. Then I guess it would if we're doing
does it then,
if we're doing draft
does it
position
mean
bias,
Shador isn't as special because, oh, well, we had another rookie quarterback do
they
it.
They could both be good.
Well, what are the odds that both these, that the Browns happened to in the third and fifth round, took probably, two special guys?
Probably not high, but they could very well both be good. I don't know. Special is a hell of a word you're using. I'm as excited as anybody about Shador's performance.
But people were saying
we are going
Shador,
off of one game.
People were saying it just looked different with Shador. It felt different with Shador. So that's what I mean. If we have another quarterback thrown
tell
out
me what
there.
Was different.
No, that's what I brought
that we had a quarterback actually play well?
Maybe that's all it was.
Is that all that is?
I think the swagger that he carried, I think people also lumped that in. With here's a guy that came out, made a splash with an entrance, before the game, and then by the end of the game, Nike's running an ad for him.
Okay,
does that ever happen for a four-string quarterback?
It doesn't happen for a four-string quarterback, but it doesn't feel different because we've had that happen already with Baker Mayfield, which again, to the people who keep giving me Baker Mayfield's line, I go, okay, then maybe they're writing wrong here. Maybe that's possible. Both could be brash. Both certainly had their detractors coming out of college. Good God Almighty. I mean, people don't like to remember the Baker stuff, but there was stuff. So if they both end up being...
Now one was arrested in college, the other...
They both end up being good QBs, then fine. I'm talking about Baker and Shador.
Yeah.
Now, if it becomes Baker and Dylan Gabriel, well, there might be some draft bias where Dylan Gabriel goes number two. But boy, he has to play really well. He's got to play his ass off. And I think there's a lot of people who cover that team every single day. They would love for the general populace to see Dylan Gabriel coming up on Saturday because they do not think that he's anything at all that would show you a third-round pick. I don't think it takes away from Shador's performance, but if Dylan Gabriel were to play well, you go, okay, he's smart. He could break it down. He's the number three. He's the third draft choice. Maybe he's number two in the depth chart. Then I got two QBs. Then I'm arguing about ceiling. Who can reach what ceiling? Who has more potential? Is it Shador or is it Dylan? Well, just because of their physical prowess, sorry, I'd have to say more Shador. 216-474-0092. But that's of right now. Things, obviously, we have the right to new information. Don in Maine. He's listening on the Free Odyssey app. He's next up on the Fan. Hello, Don. Don. Don's gone. Byron in Maryland.
Hey, man, that's nice.
Byron in Maryland listening on the Free Odyssey app. Hello, Byron.
Hello, how you doing?
Byron, you got to turn everything else down. What's going on?
Okay, let me turn everything down. Okay.
Yeah, please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
First,
you turn it up a little bit now. Shut up, Lima.
Wait a minute.
Lima is ruining everything.
Just recalibrate.
I wanted to hear what Byron had to say.
Start over.
And everything behind you.
Three, two,
one, go. Byron, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
I have you.
It's too loud and it's too soft.
First of all, I'm going to answer your question.
All right.
Speaking from a fan's point of view, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I would rather see Shador start. Let me tell you why. Let him get the experience. Let the coaches get tape. Correct his faults. Long as it's an exciting game, fans are happy. That's why everybody's happy about Friday night. I'm also a Colorado Buffalo fan. He brings excitement to the game.
Okay.
Y'all at least two or three drafts away from being a good team.
No, wait a minute. If he helps us, aren't we closer with those drafts? If he's that good of a quarterback?
You're closer, so keep him as a quarterback. Take your two first-round picks and get a running back and maybe a defensive offensive lineman. You got to build slowly. But in the meantime, let the game be exciting for the fans.
Well, I can
have never win nothing this year.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to just play him because he might be exciting. I'm going to play him because I think he's going to be good.
He's going to be good.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, but good play is exciting.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Exciting play. Good play is interesting play. That's what I want him to play for. I was excited because he played well on Friday. I don't just want some sideshow out there. Johnny was a mess. Johnny was a sideshow. That to me is just playing guys because people want to see him.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Why would you assume that he's going to be bad? Have you looked at any of his Colorado film?
No. Wait a minute. Hold on. You said the Browns aren't good. You said the Browns are two drafts away. Then now all of a sudden I'm wrong because I'm thinking that the Browns aren't going to be good this year.
Say that again. The Browns are not going to be good this year. They might be fair, but I prefer the Browns to be exciting for the fans so they will come out to the game. Take your time and build your team right.
Okay. All right, Byron, thank you for the call. What am I confused on?
A lot of things in that call.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Was
Byron,
it me?
Thank you
it might
for
be
your
me.
Advice. I appreciate that fan bases from around the country are reaching
in.
Out
yeah.
to give us advice on how to be fans
well, I don't need some
and how to make the team exciting.
That's nice of
I don't
them.
Need some
thank
Ravens
you.
Fan charity. If we've done anything, they've been exciting for the wrong reasons. Like, it's always been something you can say whatever you want to about the Browns and how unserious they've been for a very long period of time. You can't tell me they haven't been a car crash on the side of the road that you're looking at. So I can draw a fan. I can get people to pay attention to something. But of actual tangible experience, that's what I want out of Shador. I would love to be able to dig us out of this hole that has been created with Shador Sanders. So if you're telling me they're not going to be good, but just to play him for entertainment, I don't want to just play Shador for entertainment. I want to play Shador and put him in the right position to succeed. You want to know what one of the most underrated and fun things was about Friday?
Go right ahead.
Watching Pony have a meltdown on the internet. He had a total, as the kids say, a crash out on the internet. Can I say crash out, or am I too old?
You can't. Well, yes.
He had a...
But
okay,
I'll still hear
well, then
it.
I'm this, not going to say it.
In this case, though, it seems pretty apt.
I mean, he had a full-on meltdown.
We had a hotline guy say he was going to have a crash out. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Listen, I think both Shador and Dylan Gabriel deserve a fair shot at this thing, but after that performance, I might crash out if the Browns give Dylan Gabriel meaningful playing time in a real game before they give it to Shador Sanders.
That's going to be a fun one.
It was fun to hear all the Steeler fans, because if you were a Steeler fan, you had to weigh in. You had to weigh in, because they assumed it was going to be horrific.
I have a friend that's a Steelers fan that lives in Florida now. Military guy, grew up in Pittsburgh, though, right? Mm. And first series was definitely talking it on social media about Shador's performance. And then the This Aged Well comments underneath it were spectacular.
It was awesome. I felt like you for a moment as well, because Pony does not check his mentions. And I commented on another thread that Pony's in about what Zach called him, what Zach Jackson called him. a lot of other people got in on it.
What did he call him?
He called him an absolute dip bleep. That's what he called him. Zach calls him like he sees him. He is brutally honest to a fault in his own opinions. And Pony did not know what was going on online after he had tweeted about, because it originally started with the Shador entrance. He did not know what was going on online, and I felt so great that I exposed, because you could tell for the rest of the weekend, he started looking at the mentions. And he started seeing some of the names, the people who actually like cover football, going, who is this idiot? Who is this moron? Like, it's one thing for Dennis6969 to go, hey, bleep off. Like, that's the internet. But it's another thing for football guys to go, hey, that's a player for the Browns. You need to take that down. It's a player for the Browns. And he, you could tell he was in his, I was like, oh, good. I hope you're up. I hope you're up tonight. Just looking at your mentions, getting upset, looking at your phone. And it seems like he was. And then on Saturday, he continued into it. Good. I'm glad. Glad his weekend was ruined. Thanks to the Browns.
Think about the emotion.
Thanks to Shador Sanders. And that's another reason why I want Shador number two on the depth chart. It ruined Pony's weekend, Shador's performance.
And that is the thing about Shador, because I honestly don't think, let's say everything was the opposite. Let's say Shador injured his hammy, whatever, and it was instead Dylan Gabriel. I just don't think this is happening.
Right. No.
Even if it looked amazing, even if it was the exact same performance.
It is not.
And that's not fair to him. It is not fair to Dylan Gabriel, but, you know, what about this is fair?
It's fair to Pony, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Should we change our expectations from how many wins can the Browns get to how many times can the Browns force Pony into some sort of out of control spiral because of something?
I'll take those as wins as well.
Yeah.
A Pony, quote unquote, crash out. A spiraling out of control, I'll take those as well. If we only get like 6 wins this year, but Pony ends up losing in his mind, I'll take it. As of right now, I'll take it. Now, of course, if you're like 6-4 at one point, I'm going to want way more than what Pony's got, but you get what I'm saying. 216-474-0092. All right. By the way, Kevin Stefanski, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs same. Because, I said it was going to be a referendum. I feel a lot better about the trust that I have with the organization right now, with how I felt that Shador was taken care of. You feel better about that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get to the phone.
Yeah, how can you not?
Brad and Canton, you're next up on the fan.
I got him 3 on my depth chart.
Oh, Brad, come on. No, go ahead.
I got him 3.
Why is
you
that?
Asked, told you.
Yeah.
I think at this point we really can't. And this is my depth chart, mind you. I'm not saying this will be the Cleveland Browns depth chart. I got him 3 because I don't think we can any longer really wait on Kenny Pickett, spend any time worrying about Kenny Pickett. They can't completely take Kenny Pickett out of the equation because they don't want to hurt his trade value. As for Shador, I thought he played well. I didn't think he lit it up. I thought there were good plays and bad plays. This is what the coach said, what I saw too, and about what I expected against a very horrible defense. But if he goes out there and stinks it up against a horrible defense, we have a problem. But I didn't think he stunk it up at all. I thought he made some really good plays, and the second TD pass to me was even better than the third one, or the first one,
well,
because
Brad,
the second TD pass was where only his guy could get it.
Brad, I got to fit in some information here. Brad, thank you very much for the call. I don't mean to run Brad off, but the team has just announced this. Luke Floria has been waived with injury designation. So the hamstring injury is clearly serious, as he had said. Roy Embetica is also released from the club, it seems. The Browns have signed Christian Holmes and Darius Rush, both corners. In addition, the team has waived Luke Floria, Roy Embetica, and they also signed Killian Zaire as the team's international player. But the Luke Floria news is the big news.
Think about the roller coaster of emotions with that kid and his family. Over
great
the last
one-handed
3 days.
Catch. Yes. Great rapport with Shador Sanders, and it comes crashing.
Well, he can clear waivers and they can get him back, but this sucks.
Hopefully
this
gets
rough,
better.
Rough news
hopefully
with the injury.
He gets healthy. Yep, that sucks. All right, coming up next. Boy, it's terrible to end the show on that.
You must remember this is the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.